Okay, we should be starting in about 3 minutes. All right, let's take this meeting over there. We're going to start the real deal as soon as Marcy's ready. You are ready? Okay. Let me call the, let me get to the first page here, the meeting of the Board of Directors for April 4th to order. Some opening comments. Let's just say I initially want to apologize to members of this board and the people that were in the audience. 10 days ago, I did something that I have never done in 30 years of government. I forgot to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I can tell you there's no reason for it, no excuse. I could also tell you I wasn't protesting and that it will never happen again. So I do apologize. And Marcy, please do the roll call. Take a knee.
On the roll for the Board of Directors meeting of April 4th, 2018, Director Abby Koga, Director Barrett, Director Canepa,
here.
Director Chavez,
here.
Director Cutter, Director Joya,
here.
Director Groom,
present.
Director Haggerty,
here.
Director Kaplan,
here.
Director Kim, Director Niss, Director Miley, Director Mitchell, Director Ju, Director Ronan, Director Ross, Director Sanchez,
here.
Director Sparing, Director Wagon Connect,
here.
Director Zane,
here.
Secretary Sinks,
here.
Vice Chair Rice, Chair Hudson,
here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No, Scott.
Thank God you got that.
I didn't say that.
Oh. Okay. At this time, we have a special proclamation and commendation for one of our members, actually two that are leaving us. The other one was a little more stealth. Let's just say that I have an award for Jeff Sheehy here that we will send to him. If anybody wants to see what these look like without bothering Rebecca after she gets hers, you can take a look at this one, which if it doesn't get to you, Jeff, in a year or two, when I'm off the board, let me know. I will say a few things about Rebecca. This is the second regional committee I've served with her. There's one, actually it's two words, no, it's one word, that I would use not to describe Rebecca, wallflower. It isn't so much that Rebecca shares opinions. She's one of the sharpest people you ever meet. She's very educated. She makes her points. We had that discussion too many of them. It's one of the problems when you're on the board and you really care, you sometimes get going and your priorities go from 2 or 3 to 8 or 10 because essentially you've read the material, you've done the work. Well, Rebecca is one of those persons. She's going to be leaving us after 2 years on the board. It is amazing to me that someone can make such an impact because usually when you get on this board, you don't say anything for the first couple of years, and it's very difficult in a board of 24 people getting your points across. Rebecca served on several subcommittees. She asked me specifically if she could be on public engagement. She's on LEDGE. There's a very interesting report out in a couple of minutes that we now have a new form of, I don't even know if it's form, we are going to have a new position that we take on the board that from this day forward will be known as a Kaplan because we didn't even know what it was until Rebecca brought it up. But we're going to miss you. We have something for you down here, and I hope you'll have a few words, but I will tell you that Rebecca's one of those people that I have a new phrase that I coined here that she's title irrelevant. Her strongest contribution may be not being chair. Though, if I remember correctly, it took you almost 3 weeks to apply for chair of the Air District once you were on the board. She wasn't going to wait around. So if you will join me down at the podium. This so much. Thank you. I just got to be careful. This is, everybody take a look. It's a nice little glass.
Oh.
For you. It's neat, huh?
Thank you. Now, thank
give it a hug. We got to get in close for these photo op. Look at, oh, come on. Be so professional. Good. Okay, Rebecca, oh, if you would, God. Say a few words
for us. So awesome. And Jeff is getting one also. We thank you so much for the time you spent with us, and we know you'll be back.
Thank you. Oh, my God. It's really cool. And it's nice, heavy glass. Thank you. Yes, and it's on. And it even has a post-it note that says push, just in case anybody was unclear. Wow, thank you so much. And I will keep in mind the chair's admonition to say few words.
As he talks forever.
But good morning. And it's hard to believe it's only been 2 years on this board. My first day on the board was in the other building. It was 4/20/2016, and we passed the crude slates reporting rule at my first meeting in the building where we had to climb around columns to get to our seats, and now we are here, and actually it's been an incredibly amazing time, and I really think that what we've accomplished in this time is remarkable. And I know some of the things have come to this board, but still need to be implemented. We've been talking about some of the improvements in and around the Port of Oakland that were discussed at the last board meeting, that certainly I hope we will continue to move forward, as well as some of the efforts around things we can do with trucks, as well as other things that aren't specific to any one area, like strengthening carpooling incentives and other public outreach efforts. I really appreciate I've gotten to be on the Mobile Source Committee and the Public Engagement Committee, and most recently the LEDGE Committee. So we've covered a vast array of topics in a short period of time. I also really want to give some appreciation to my colleagues from Alameda County, who I've worked with both here and elsewhere, and who now will have some fun topics to help carry forward related to some of the issues in our county that have been coming here that obviously they were working on before as well, but that needs to continue. And I want to say that the ability to breathe the air is the first thing, and that if people can't breathe and communities can't breathe, then they really can't do anything else. And so for those who live in the hardest hit areas, for those who are breathing toxic air every day, I hope we will continue to work together to strengthen our efforts, both in terms of AB 617 implementation, in terms of the chair's favorite word, PM, which doesn't mean just afternoon, but means particulate matter, and how we can help our communities be more protected in their public health. And I just wanted to say personally that it has been an incredible experience for me to be here, and that if ever it gets a little heated here, I hope we will all remember that the worst, nastiest meeting that ever happens of this body is nicer than the nicest meeting that ever happens of the Oakland City Council. And so take heart, and it has been wonderful to be here with all of you, and I really, really appreciate this. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Say something?
Wait. We've been talking about this before. There are some speaker cards if people want to talk to this. I will tell you that we have board member comments at the end. We have public comment at the end. To the people that want to speak right now, please do come up. Hold it to about a minute. I understand that during public comment, we'll have a little bit more latitude if you want to come up and change your mind in case Rebecca does something between now and the end. But let's have the speaker cards first, if we can, Shirley, and then at the end, I know everybody's going to talk unless it's something. Okay, who's first?
Andrea Soto, then Jed Holtzman.
Cool.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Rebecca, mazel tov. And, you know, it's actually bittersweet. I'm glad to see you're in such good spirits, but we are very disappointed that you will no longer be able to continue to serve on this body. We know you fought hard to try to keep your seat on this body because of your commitment to working with the most impacted communities and advocating on their behalf, which does not really happen in most public arenas. And really, you know, those of us who are advocates over here on behalf of those communities also appreciate how quick you came to study this stuff and understand it so that you could be a more effective advocate. And that's deeply appreciated. So while we're disappointed you're not going to be able to continue, we will continue to work.
Thank you, Andres. Jed?
Thanks, Jed Holtzman, 350 Bay Area. Just want to second Andres' comments. Rebecca's really kind of a textbook example of what the public would like to see on this board and any board in terms of conscientiousness and engagement, regardless of the fact that we happen to agree with her a lot. Folks worked really hard at the Alameda County Conference of Mayors to try to prevent this from happening. That was not a trivial process for folks to get engaged in, I know. So I appreciate the folks who put work into that. Unfortunate that it didn't work out. As a San Francisco resident, I would also like to say I hope that we can have full representation on this board that sticks for some period of time. That's important to me as an advocate and a resident, a longtime resident of San Francisco. So I will look to Directors Ju and Ronan to make sure that that happens. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jed. Anyone else? Seeing none. Shirley, you had some comments. I guess Hillary's going to have to do double duty for
some
reason.
No, I have to say something, too. I just want to say, you're a lawyer, aren't you, Rebecca? Yeah, it's ridiculous that you have to leave this board. And I think it's politics at its worst. And there's a steep learning curve to this board. I'm in my ninth year here, learning things constantly. And the fact that somebody as bright and capable and articulate as you is being replaced after 2 years, well, shame on the mayor. Really. Thank you. And I really appreciate your service, and I hope we get you back.
Okay, Shirley. Thank you very much. We will say most of the other board members will be. We're not ignoring you. It's not a protest. I didn't forget you. We've all pretty much will reserve till the end. Next is the consent calendar, generally routine in nature, act upon with a single action. Do we have any cards to pull anything? No. Do we have anyone from the board wishing to make a poll or motion Wagon Connect? Second, Barrett. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Seeing none, no abstentions.
I am abstaining on item 3 on the minutes because I was absent on that day.
All right, we got one abstainer. Pete Sanchez. Next, we're on to item 12, which is the report of the Climate Protection Committee. Chair Barrett.
Thank you. The Climate Protection Committee met on Thursday, March 15th, and approved the minutes of November 16th, 2017. The committee received and discussed the staff presentation Climate Protection Grant Program. The committee recommends the board approve the Climate Protection Grant Program guidelines containing a suggested revision at the consensus of the Climate Protection Committee to Section 5V. Evaluation and scoring criteria. The suggested revision is that an eighth criterion be added, adding 5 points for projects that benefit low-income communities. Finally, the committee reviewed and discussed the staff presentation update on the Air District's basin-wide methane strategy. The next meeting of the committee will be held on Thursday, May 17th at 9:30 a.m. in this building. I move that the board approve the Climate Protection Committee's recommendation. This concludes the chair report of the Climate Protection Committee.
Or does that scratch of the back mean you wanted to do it, Mark, or no? Oh, Rebecca had her hand up. Rebecca second. Any discussion, comments, questions? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Aye. Abstain? Mr. Joya, you have the floor for the stationary source.
Thank you, Chair Hudson. The Stationary Source Committee met on Monday, March 19th, and approved the minutes of the December 18, 2017 meeting. We had a lively meeting. The committee received over 50 public comments. It's under public comments on the review on the renewal of the Phillips 66 Title V permit under non-agenda items. As a result, the committee did not receive the staff report. We ran out of time. The staff report update on the preliminary best available retrofit control technology evaluation and identification of potential rural development projects, nor the staff report update on the Air District's basin-wide methane strategy. These items were tabled until the next meeting of the committee. The next meeting of the Stationary Source Committee will be on Monday, May 21st at 10:30 a.m. here at the Air District offices. This concludes the chair report of the Stationary Source Committee.
Thank you. The next report is of the Legislative Committee. We met Thursday, March 22nd, approved the minutes of February 22nd. The committee considered new bills and recommended that the Board of Directors take the following action. Support Assembly Bill 1796, which addresses electric vehicle charging station installation in rent-controlled buildings. Support Assembly Bill 2061, Frazier, which increases truck weight limits for electric fuel cell or natural gas trucks. That's a second. Okay. Oppose Assembly Bill 2940, Caballero, which exempts certain heavy-duty diesel low-use and agricultural vehicles from existing requirements that would prevent their registration. Support Assembly Bill 3059, Bloom, which authorizes congestion pricing demonstration projects. Then upon discussion, the committee recommended that staff recommended position be changed from support, if amended, to the Kaplan, which will be seek amendments regarding Senate Bill 1144 Dodd, which increases civil stationary source air penalty ceilings for serious violations at power plants, petrochemical facilities, and refineries, and support Senate Bill 1427 Hill, which states legislative intent to improve enforcement of high-occupancy vehicle and high-occupancy toll lanes. Staff brought an additional issue to the committee for its consideration, and the committee recommended that the Board of Directors take the following position. Oppose Assembly Bill 2336 Salas, which prioritizes the retrofit or replacement of high-emission school buses operating in air districts that are designated federal extreme non-attainment. Finally, staff updated the committee on Sacramento events of significance since its last meeting. The next meeting of the Legislative Committee is at the call of the chair. I move that the board approve the committee's recommendation. Motion Hudson, second Mitchoff. Mr. Sinks.
I have a question about an item you apparently didn't consider that I'd put in the hopper for consideration, and that is an evaluation of SB 100, which would cause our electricity supply to be carbon-free by 2040. Many of us appreciate the goal but think it's far too, the time frame to get there is far too long, and we note that Community Choice Energy is making it happen faster but are concerned that the bill may be a vehicle for a takedown of CCE, and I wondered if the Ledge Committee had considered it or if it's on the docket for evaluation.
Mr. Addison, you want to address that? I see you heading for the corner here. If not, I'm certainly of a mind that it better be on the next one.
In answer to your question, Director Sinks, it's certainly something that we've had conversations with people about at the Capitol. Our belief is that it will not be used to reduce the rate of introduction or the effectiveness or new CCEs or affect existing community choice energy sort of options for people. I do think that, our as staff, our thinking on it has been to not step into that issue. There are a number of folks on both sides of it. Clearly, there are some positive things and some negative things about it as an issue. Certainly, we strongly support the goal of reducing fossil fuels being used to produce electricity. That's obviously got significant air quality benefits. Is this the... Nevertheless, there are some issues that a number of observers have expressed about this. Is it the right rate? Is it appropriate given the change just 2 years ago to the renewable portfolio standards? So certainly something we thought about but did not suggest the legislative committee weigh in on.
Mr. Chair? I appreciate staff's report, but I think if a member of this board asks for something to be on a specific agenda, I'd appreciate the staff's input at the committee meeting so that we can take it up. Mm-hmm. So I concur. This should come to the next LEDGE meeting. We can then take a neutral position. We can take a support. We can take an oppose. But if Director Sinks asks for this to be on the agenda, I think staff should always bring stuff to any committee that another director asks to be considered.
Well, I appreciate that because I know that mm-hmm. a lot of groups have been wrestling with this, but honestly, in my view, the Air District is the most sophisticated body in the region mm-hmm. In evaluating bills like this. And yes, it may be that there are good reasons to be neutral, but I think some analysis would, I'd sure appreciate it.
I think we'll do it. John, is that just still on?
No, I'm just shaking my head, yes.
Okay, so, I mean, your lights, you're good?
So, Mr. Chairman, so yes. We can take that as a direction. We will certainly place it on the next LEDGE committee.
It never hurts to talk about something. Mm-hmm. Look, we came up with a new term at the last LEDGE. Okay, the next report, that concludes the chair, I'm sorry, the report of the executive, legislative committee. The next is the Executive Committee. A joint meeting of the Executive Committee and Advisory Council was held on Monday, March 26th. The committee approved the minutes of February 7th, 2018. The committee reviewed and discussed the staff presentation overview of the Air District's Advisory Council. The committee then reviewed and discussed the staff's presentation, Air District priorities. Finally, the committee reviewed and discussed the staff presentation update on Assembly Bill 617. The next meeting of the Executive Committee will be held on Monday, April 18th at the Bay Area Air Quality Management District offices. That's where you are right now at 9:30. This concludes the chair report of the Executive Committee. Next is the report of the Advisory Council meeting. Who did do the Pledge of Allegiance that day? You're up, Mr. Sinks.
Thank you very much. This is the report of the follow-on meeting, the Advisory Council meeting. The Council met on Monday, March 26, 2018, and approved the minutes of December 11, 2017. The Council received the staff presentation, Particulate Matter in the Bay Area. Finally, the Council received the staff presentation, Advisory Council Next Area of Focus, Continuation of Discussions of Particulate Matter. The next meeting of the Council is at the call of the Chair. This concludes the Chair report of the Advisory Council, but I'd like to add one more thing. And that is that Stan Hayes, who is chairs the Advisory Council, is here. I know he would like to make a remark. One of the things we talked about during the day on March 26 was the initiative that Governor Brown is engaged with to bring a meeting of governors to the city of San Francisco. And this would happen this fall. Maybe it's Jerry's swan song, but we think that Jerry is going to be interested in engaging with this Air District and its leadership, and in particular, an idea that we discussed at the March 26th meeting was, if at the federal level good science is being rejected, Trump administration's decision to roll back our auto emission standards, if we're going to just put our heads in the sand and pretend like we don't have an issue, and the governor wants to get together with like-minded governors and demonstrate leadership, we think that our advisory council could well be an effective voice at such an event or in that context, in other activities. And we could make some news to counter what we're getting from the federal government. So, Stan Hayes, chair of our advisory council.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I want to thank all of you for the chance to be here today. And I really want to thank the members of the Executive Committee for meeting with us in joint session last week. It was a terrific opportunity to get to know each other a little bit better, to share some thoughts about our plans and priorities, to talk about ways of communicating between the board and the council as something going forward. We're delighted to have that opportunity. You know, when we hope that you'll be able to do this again sometime. It was a great moment for us to come together with you, and we look forward to doing it again. You know, this the Advisory Council has been a part of this district for a long time, all the way back to the beginning. I was surprised as I went back and looked at the history a little bit, and I realized that the Advisory Council was formed in 1956. So it's been a part of this district for more than 60 years. And the way we are today, as we regain a full complement of our members over the next few months, we're seven of us now. Some of the finest scientists, experts in air pollution, air quality health effects, air pollution health effects, climate change, all of these are things that are that we hope will be a resource to you to be able to answer some of the tough scientific questions that come before this board and to do it in a way where we're able to give you our take on what the best science is. Thank you for that opportunity. We're delighted to have that, and we look forward to working with you as we go forward this year. It's a pleasure to be and an honor to be a part of a district with such a distinguished history, and to work with you and all the good work that you have done. Director Sinks mentioned something. We've been talking for now for a while about what our next topic is, what's the next most important thing to think about. And we're in the good position of seeing that many of the standards that we have been chasing so long, so hard, we're beginning to approach. In some cases, we're actually meeting them. So as we contemplate a future that's beyond attainment of these standards, the question is, what else do we do? What's the next best thing? How can we most move the public health needle? So as we thought about that, one of the things that has occurred to us that as we try to make sense out of all of this is the fact that when you look at toxics, it's PM. Not afternoon, but particulate matter. If you look at criteria pollutants, those pollutants for which there are air quality standards, you see it's the same thing. It's fine particles, PM2.5. So it's the common denominator, which has taken us directly to the focus on particulate matter. And when you think about things like toxics, diesel particulate matter from the exhaust from trucks and diesel-fueled vehicles of different kinds, that seems to be the risk driver. That's the place to look. If we're going to look to improve the health of people in the Bay Area further, that's an important place to look. Diesel PM, the largest pieces of diesel PM come from trucks. They come from goods movement. They come from things that invite us to look at possible solutions. And as we think about what it is we can do first to get as quick a jump on this problem that we know we have, the idea has been discussed to think about trying to contemplate a diesel-free future. That's an aspirational goal. It's something that's exciting. It's something that's being contemplated by and acted upon by countries throughout the world now. So is this a district that has always been at the front edge of the cutting edge? This district has often defined the cutting edge. Is this a place where the district should be? That's something that we're beginning to think about on the council, and we look forward to discussing that with you and getting your direction and your thoughts about this as we move forward. We do have this climate conference, the Governor's Climate Conference, coming in September 19th, I think it is. Aspirational goals are an important part of our future. At any rate, thank you all very much for letting me be here today, and on behalf of the council, thank you for letting us be a part of you.
I also wanted to give Jack Broadbent an opportunity to comment on the interactions and say maybe a little bit more about what we know may be coming to San Francisco in September or thereabouts.
Thank you, Director Sinks. And good morning, members of the board and Mr. Chairman. I thought the conversation there with the Executive Committee and Advisory Council was excellent. We think that, frankly, we need to probably make that an annual event where we begin to have the close coordination and communication between the board and the Advisory Council. And keep in mind, the Advisory Council is there to brief and advise both the board and the staff. If you take a step back, we have been, as Mr. Hayes indicated, seeking to try to address our communities in the Bay Area now for some time through the CARE program. And it's becoming clear that PM is the major concern with regard to toxicity. And it also represents some key opportunities, we think, also. And so there's been this thinking here that we should use this Global Climate Action Summit that the governor is going to be holding here in San Francisco in September, really uses an opportunity to continue to demonstrate our leadership. And so if you don't mind, let me lay out potentially what this could mean for us. The summit itself is being put on by this governor. I've met with the governor's staff a few times about this. We've laid out a potential theme here for the district, or at least a role here for the district. But this slide here gives you a little bit of background. They're indicating that there could be as many as 15,000 people attending this. If you're familiar with the Paris Agreement, that's essentially what the governor is seeking to try to create here in San Francisco. We had thought that it made sense for us to serve as what's called an affiliated event. In the COP meetings, like the Paris Agreement meetings, we refer to them as side events. For this meeting, they're creating these affiliated events all around the Bay Area, and to highlight different issues and bring together different experts to address climate. But in dealing with the governor's office, it's clear what they're looking for. They're looking for organizations like our own to make commitments for moving forward, to really address climate moving past this governor's time. And in the conversations back and forth, it's clear that what we could do is basically have an event here during that week wherein that we have this board, along with the MTC board, making a commitment to eliminate diesel in the Bay Area, eliminate diesel particulate exposure in the Bay Area. And so as staff, we've been trying to undertake some homework. We've been working closely with MTC. This is along the lines that MTC has been moving in terms of getting zero emission buses, for example, and in transit operations. We've been seeking to do this through our grant programs for over 10 years plus. I think we passed the $1 billion mark recently in terms of our money. And so we saw an opportunity here to have the district, have this building serve as an event, an affiliated event, wherein all of you are up on a stage along with MTC to have a pledge to remove diesel particulate by 2033. And so why 2033? We actually did some homework and looked at, we think it's about a 15-year time horizon for us to convert over essentially most of the fleet operations, most of the station, most of the mobile sources of diesel particulate. And so it also rhymes. You know, I hate to tell you that. that's not what drove us, but it would be diesel-free by 33 is the concept. And so
I hope not.
Well, that's going to be on a banner. I hate to tell you that. But it's catchy, so therefore it works. So the idea here is that we could host this event. It'd be a pledge, and we'd be stepping in line with other major metropolitan areas across the world. Rome, Paris, London have all made these similar types of pledges, commitments. Shanghai, and I believe Beijing and Hong Kong. So there's numerous cities and metropolitan areas. So it's not necessarily a new thought, but it is an important step, and there would be some heft behind this, if you will. There's some technical solid foundation behind what we're proposing to you, that you all stand there and make this pledge. So that's the thinking, but we want to be able to, frankly, sit down and work with our advisory council, work through how this could work, and I think they're the right people to help us. So with that, Mr. Chairman, let me stop and answer any questions. Again, this would be something we do in concert with MTC and BART as well. And so far, the governor's office have indicated that they really like this idea. They have thought that it not only helps us with regard to black carbon reduction, but it also supports an important initiative, and that is supporting and really addressing the local community exposure. So we would also then seek to invite community members to sit and pledge this their commitments as well.
Okay. I'll be glad Member to Joya, questions. Then Member Zane. Do we have any cards, Marcy, while they're talking? Thank you. Go ahead, John.
Thanks for the report from the Advisory Council. Jack, I wanted to add, I think the no diesel sort of pledge sort of is timely with the discussion. I think it's important to note at the California Air Resources Board last week at our meeting where we approved a plan to move the state not just away from diesel in the freight system, but away from fossil fuels, to move to the electrification of the freight system, and to pass regulations that would ban, that would require all, for example, all buses after a certain date to no longer be gas or diesel, but be electric. So I think it's consistent with that, and there's a number of new regulations that the Air Board is looking at passing over the next few years to basically turn the freight system into a zero-emission freight system in the state. So I think this is consistent, and not sure how the dates all line up. I think it's right. This all is going to take some time, but it's consistent. And I think, frankly, the one of the important roles, rather than just take a pledge, is this issue of whether we have the power to issue the indirect source rule. So I think coming back with not just the pledge, but the regulations that we may be able to pass that can complement the state regulations, because there's work being done that goes beyond just a pledge.
Okay, Member Zane, Chavez, and then we'll conclude with Secretary Sinks, and I believe we have a speaker. Oh, and so almost just, got through. Go ahead.
Just in response to Director Joy's comment, we have broached this topic with the Advisory Council, and they had the same thoughts that you have had. You know, they want us to go back and make sure that this is technically reasonable, that we look at what the solutions might be so we can verify that date. They're also interested, as Jack said, in this black carbon issue, because in the studies that they've done, they see black carbon as a primary route for being a platform for the penetration of other chemicals deep into the lungs that cause health issues. So they've asked us to do some more investigation as to what the contribution of this would be in this region. And they've asked us to look at what the authorities would be of local jurisdictions to institute these types of bans, or, you know, congestion pricing, or however local jurisdiction might approach this. And they've, again, tasked us to explore what the Air District's authority is relative to these sources, and then refine our incentives. So our plan is to come back to the Advisory Council with this, make sure that we're on technically sound basis, hopefully have them give us some advice and approve this idea in the early summer, and then move it out to the public with that sound technical basis behind it.
Okay. But just to say,
just finish up.
There's a belief that it is technically sound. That determination's already been made to ban diesel buses at some point in the future.
I think what Mr. Breen's indicating is the time frame.
Yeah, it's the time frame.
Okay, Member Zane, then Chavez, then Gavin.
Yes, thank you. In January, I had the opportunity to address a conference in Washington, D.C. that's put on every year by the National Council on Science and the Environment. And they are actually doing a somewhat of a merger with our Applied Solutions Program, which some of you are members of, that the Sonoma County Water Agency started, to look at solutions in terms of transportation, environment, building, all that are sustainable and environmentally sound. They have asked me to be on their board, and they are going to have a real presence here at this conference, and which is great because they're a Washington, D.C. entity, and they really want to make that jump in terms of the West Coast. One of their board members is the head of environmental science at UC Santa Barbara, and they're looking to recruit a couple of other board members on the West Coast, probably from Lawrence Livermore or UC Berkeley or Stanford. The reason why I say this is because I think it's really important, based upon the work that we've done in the last 10 years, that we establish ourselves as leaders in the U.S. and internationally in this area. I think air districts are often looked as, regulators, and we're far more than a regulator. You know, we have established a vision. We have established a climate protection program and policies. And so I think being at the center of this, being a part of this, is really instrumental in having that leadership that we've already demonstrated in the United States and in the world. So I say, let's go for it.
Okay. Chavez, Kaplan, and then we'll conclude the report. Get our speaker up here.
Thank you. I think this is really exciting, and I want to just make a couple of requests to the staff. One is that I love the idea of being able to use our clean air plan as a key component of this work, and even if it means we adjust our clean air plan to say, and we're adding with a little more vigor on a faster time frame, this body of work, and that we're able to share that clean air plan with anybody who we're interacting with over the course of the conference, because I think it's a really great document. I think it's something that would help other regions. The second thing I'd like to recommend is that in addition to MTC, all of our regions have multiple transit agencies that are going to need to be very excited about this. And a precursor to this, in my mind, would be to get each of those organizations to do some sort of a resolution and get somebody from each of those to stand with whoever else you need to fit on a stage, because we want as many of those people taking pledges as we can prior to or about that time frame. And in particular, I would recommend that, you know, all of us pass resolutions, and a lot of times the language is very lovely and fluffy. But I think it would be nice to recommend some strategies for pursuing the no diesel program, including having targeted goals, for example, for procurement. Because, again, all of the agencies we sit on are purchasing assets on an ongoing basis. And frankly, that's a relatively low bar of activity for all of the agencies. Thank you.
Thank you. Kaplan, then Ross.
Well, you know, I couldn't pass up my opportunity to talk about trucks.
I was almost there.
First of all, I'm really thrilled to have this before us. I think it's a great idea. I'm glad everybody is excited about fighting PM. We really know that is the major contributor to the health impacts on our communities. So I wanted to suggest a few potential items in terms of not just a pledge, but making it tangible. One, in terms of the largest of the trucks that we need to be looking both at electric and also at hydrogen fuel cell, which currently is capable of traveling further than what's available for electric. And before I was on the Oakland City Council, I served on the board of AC Transit for 8 years while we were launching the hydrogen fuel cell bus program, which is part of why I know about some of this stuff before. And the person who ran that program is now in L.A. doing a hydrogen fuel cell truck pilot program, the same guy who ran the hydrogen fuel cell bus program at AC Transit. So I think we should reach out to them and see if we can pilot some hydrogen fuel cell trucks and see what it would take to get those going as well. The electric trucks, great too. There's going to need to be major industry shifts to have those be being produced in any significant number. But we should continue to push for that, including it's been suggested that one area that it would be quicker to implement would be the medium-sized trucks, the Class 5 and 6, which is what you see for UPS and FedEx, that it's easier to electrify those more quickly than the longer-haul trucks, and that could be a great area to target as well. I also wanted to suggest that we keep on the list, even as we're trying to phase out the diesel, that emission capture needs to still be on the list, because the diesel still isn't gone, and a lot of the old ships that dock in the port are still burning bad stuff, and things like bonnets that capture the emissions, because the goal is also to keep it from getting into the lungs of the people. So both we should keep trying to reduce the emissions, but also to capture them or keep them from impacting the community. In terms of local authority to help, obviously we'll have our continued struggles around the extent of our regulatory authority, but we do have authority to fund, to incentivize, to encourage maybe hot lanes for trucks that you get to be in if you're a zero emission, like we now have for the cars that can go in the carpool lane. That could be an incentive. And also, of course, I couldn't forget to mention my favorite, cash for clunkers for trucks, which is just flat out buying out the bad ones and sending the bad old engines off to be recycled. I would also suggest we might want to coordinate with some of the folks at the CTC who have particular specialization in freight. That would include Fran Inman on the CTC, who has a lot of freight expertise. And also across the bay in Alameda County, those of us on the Alameda County Transportation Commission, which is four members of this board, have created a freight subcommittee as well, and a bunch of stuff around how to improve freight that I think could be a good partnership as well. Thank you.
Okay, Member Ross?
I think your
I'm going back to the three priorities with you, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your perspective and voice is going to be missed, Rebecca. It will be. Thank you. And just, I by no means am a refinery advocate, so trust me when I... So when I say this with some trepidation that it could be taken out of context, but we do regulate refineries. They do produce diesel. So that conversation hopefully will include them, if only because, so they don't think that we really have an adversarial board on our ass and that they're not going to try to shut us down. And even if they acquiesce to this whole, the concept, and they go, okay, we see it, it's coming, what would they replace their production with? And what are the unintended consequences for their facility? What will they produce instead? Because obviously they have to keep some type of production going. On the second thing I would say is I would agree with Director Kaplan's comment about Class 5 and 6, your FedEx, your delivery trucks, because as long as we're going to beat up on Amazon, let's say Amazon is the problem. I'm just being facetious, but if it's beat up on Amazon week, let's beat up on Amazon. And I have a collection of cardboard from, my porch deposits that rivals anybody's. But, maybe along with the demand side of it, we educate the public and ask these people like Amazon, can they provide a delivery option that's green? Would I pay $2 more for a green delivery option, just like we do with MCE? How about a green delivery option? Maybe that concept could be somewhat vetted. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. If that concludes your report, then we will hear from our one speaker.
Mr. Chairman, I just
want to... Oh, more.
No, sorry.
I just want to make...
We're getting closer, Jed. Hang on.
A couple of things I just wanted to make mention to the board that we didn't mention as staff to you. First of all, stationary sources are a big source of PM. We're not forgetting about that. That would be part of the strategy. That would be part of our commitment. Refineries themselves, there's further PM reductions we need to pin down, and that is part of a important set of work that we're doing. Also, the governor's office has indicated back that they would like us to reach out to LA, for example, when we do this. We have made some initial inquiries, and it sounds like the mayor of LA would be interested in joining us. If that's the case, it wouldn't be necessarily the Bay Area leadership. It would be California or local government pledge, something along those lines. So just to let you know, there are some, that's what they would like to see us do here and use our building as the event because they all love this building. The problem is this building only fits so many people. So that's one issue. Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure
that's good. I was thinking somewhere west, but that's okay. Go ahead.
I first just wanted to extend our appreciation and thanks to the Advisory Council. I know we've been talking a lot about the summit right now, but I thought you gave an excellent presentation about what you've accomplished and also what you're going to be focused on. And a lot of times Advisory Councils don't get that kind of stage to be extended the deepest gratitude for all of their hard work and volunteer efforts. So I think I speak on behalf of the entire board by just thanking you and all the members of the Advisory Council for all your great work. And then just to follow up on the summit, I think the other thing I would, I think you were headed in that direction when you were thinking about talking to Mayor Garcetti about joining that pledge, but I want to keep in mind that this is actually a global summit. So the folks that are part of the advisory council kind of organizing this represent organizations extending across the world. So I think in order to have a successful event, I would encourage that sort of integration. So you started talking about London and a few other cities, and there's a couple of key international organizations that are organizing mayors, organizing environmental groups. And so to the extent we really want a successful event that can be scaled elsewhere, engaging those groups and having them be partners so it's not just a Bay Area thing, it's not just a California thing, but it's actually something that can be replicated elsewhere would be my suggestion. So thank you.
Thank you. One last look. Okay, our speaker is...
Thank you, Chair Hudson. Jed Holtzman from 350 Bay Area again. A few comments on what's come up. Really want to support Director Chavez's comments. Sharing the Clean Air Plan widely at this gathering might potentially be the best thing that comes out of this. If jurisdictions all over the world take this plug-and-play plan of 85 control measures and are able to implement some or all of those in their jurisdictions, that is what we have been advocating the whole time would be the real benefit of this plan, not just what we could get done in the nine-county area. So probably worth spending some money on actually printing something, maybe not the full two-volume thing to distribute to 15,000 people, but really, really worth considering how to distribute this information very, very widely, because it was a great thing that your staff and the board did, and you should spread that as far as possible. The best pledges for this climate conference would obviously be pieces of your clean air plan that you've already worked out that were stripped out of your authority by AB 398. Some really great, radical, first-in-the-nation climate movements that you decided to take. So I want to note the irony of the governor's office calling for climate pledges from air districts when I think that... anyway, I'm just going to leave that there. We definitely support the goal to remove diesel PM from our air, and we think that this timeline is very reasonable. We need to ensure that this program integrates zero emission adoption into these fleets as much as possible. I mean, we're talking about a timeline of 15 years, so by 2033, we need to be massively down on our gas consumption. So obviously just transitioning all of these diesel vehicles to gas vehicles over the 15-year period won't get us where we need to be. So just want to make sure that that's integrated from the ground up. And to Director Ross's comments, the community, thank you for preempting, the community is going to want to hear your plans on refinery PM. Obviously, you know that if you start talking about PM, the community is going to want to hear what your plans are on refinery PM and not just vehicles. So just prepare for that. And then the last thing that I would say is your clean air plan has called for the Bay Area to go fossil free. That's just out there as the vision of this agency. And so ensuring refinery production is not the goal of the Bay Area Air Quality Management District Board of Directors. And eventually, I mean, a fossil-free Bay Area means potentially that refinery production might mean something very different. So I just want to note that we can't prioritize that as our goal here in this body. In your local jurisdictions, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chad. Okay, our next item is report of the Budget and Finance Committee. Chair Groom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The committee met on Wednesday, March 28, 2018, and approved the minutes of February 28, 2018. The committee reviewed and discussed proposed amendments to Regulation 3, which is about fees. There was a very interesting and robust discussion, and the report will come to the full board later in this couple months. Finally, the committee reviewed and discussed the staff presentation of the proposed budget for fiscal year ending 2019. The next meeting of the Budget and Finance Committee is Wednesday, August 25th, 9:30, at this building.
Thank you, Carol. Next meeting, or the next report, is of the Public Engagement Committee. Mr. Wagenknecht.
Good morning. The Public Engagement met the day before yesterday. Yes. Monday, April 2nd.
Did you do the pledge?
And approved the minutes. This almost looks like a...
book.
Mobile source report. It's that long. And approved the minutes of the September 25th, 2017 meeting. The committee reviewed and discussed the staff presentation, approved of a contract for Spare the Air advertising and messaging campaigns. The committee recommends that the board approve Prozeo Communications as a selected contractor for the Spare the Air campaigns, advertising, communications, and evaluation services. Number two, authorize the executive officer, air pollution control officer, to execute a contract with Prozeo Communications for the amount not to exceed $1.95 million per year during the fiscal year ending 2019 and the fiscal year ending 2020, and $2.019 million for the fiscal year ending 2021. The committee then reviewed and discussed the staff presentation authorized to execute contract amendments for Spare the Air program website development, and committee recommends that the board, one, authorize the executive officer, air pollution control officer, to execute a contract amendments with Silogy in the amount of $100,000 for back-end website content management system development, integration, customization, and infrastructure support. The committee then reviewed and discussed the staff presentation selection of a contractor to facilitate the Spare the Air resource teams. The committee recommends that the board approve the selection of Community Focus, a contractor to facilitate the Spare the Air resource team. Two, approve the selection of Kearns and West, a contractor to establish a Spare the Air resource team in Marin County. Three, authorize the executive officer, air pollution control officer, to execute a contract with Community Focus to facilitation services in the amount not to exceed $222,000 per contract year for up to 3 years, and authorize the executive officer, APCO, to execute a contract with Kearns and West to create a new Spare the Air resource team and meeting facilitation support in the amount not to exceed $38,000 per year for up to 3 years. The committee then reviewed and discussed the staff presentation, accepted appropriate funds for the two state community climate investment grants for supporting community engagement efforts in Alameda County. The committee recommends that the board, one, accept the appropriate funds and appropriate the funds to the county from the County of Alameda Flood Control District for California Natural Resources Agency Urban Greening Grant in the amount not to exceed $109,000 in support of the San Leandro Creek Urban Greenway Phase 1 project in East Oakland. Two, accept and appropriate funds from the California Department of Conservation and State Transformative Climate Community Program in the amount not to exceed $170,000 in support of the West Oakland Marcus Garvey Commons Project. And three, ensure the contracts include maintenance and licensing agreement language. This is requested by the maker of the motion. The committee then reviewed and discussed the staff presentation overview of the Spare the Air Youth for an Environmental Sustainability Conference. Finally, the committee reviewed and discussed the staff presentation overview of awarded fiscal year ending 2019 of the James Carey Smith Community Grant Projects. The next meeting for this is at the call of the chair. I move the board approve the Public Engagement Committee recommendations, and this concludes my report.
Okay, we have a motion, WagyConnect. Second, Ross. Any comments, questions? All those in favor say aye. Opposed, aye. Say no. Abstain. Public comment is now open. This is a time for anyone in the audience to address this body on any item not on today's agenda. Do we have any cards?
I have Radu Patrici and Diana Rivers.
Oh, great. Let's start with the Ladu, is it? Please correct my pronunciation, and then Diane, you're next up.
Yeah, it's Radu Patrici. Thank you, members of the board. It's nice to be here today. My name is Radu Patrici. I'm a homeowner at 55 Page Street in San Francisco. We're a 128-unit condo building. I'm also the president of the Homeowners Association. I'm here today representing my wife, myself, and many neighbors who are not able to attend. We are greatly concerned about the smoke, odor, and particulate matter emanating from Espetus Steakhouse, located at 1686 Market Street in San Francisco. Their kitchen smokestack is less than 35 feet from our building. Espetus grills large quantities of meat over coals 7 days a week for both lunch and dinner at least 12 hours a day. The smoke, odor, and particulate matter from Espetus stack constantly blows into our condo, our balcony, and smoke, odor, and particulate matter permeates into our hallways, elevators, garages, roof deck, essentially the common areas of our building. We effectively have no access to fresh air for up to 12 hours a day in our condo, and not just myself, but approximately 40 to 50 units which are facing south in our building. Some neighbors have even come home after a weekend away to find soot all over their halls, or I'm sorry, their walls and appliances. We find this generally unacceptable. You know, I, along with my wife and neighbors, have lodged numerous complaints, both phone and written, with the Air District over the last few years. We have met with various Air District inspectors, and we do want to thank the inspection team. You know, they've responded to our calls. Ed Giacometti, Eric Lara, Dick Rodriguez have come out. They've been consummate professionals, and they have been responsive. But we respectfully ask that this board and staff take action now to require Espetus to mitigate their emissions. Multiple inspectors have, in fact, confirmed the smoke and odor coming into our condos, as well as the roof deck, the common areas, and the street as well, both the back alley that's between our condo and Espetus. Now, we ask that more aggressive action be taken so that we may enjoy our homes and, quite honestly, ensure that we remain healthy. You know, Member Kaplan, I believe you had mentioned before particulate matter and just, you know, want the right to breathe clean air. Now, we understand that there are no regulations governing cooking of meat over coals in San Francisco. Honestly, this seems kind of absurd to us, especially when fireplaces are regulated, but a restaurant can essentially cook 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not be regulated. And we know that there are means, such as public nuisance, to require Espetus to fix this problem. Often, our condo is undistinguishable, if not worse, than being inside of a steakhouse, especially when we have no access to fresh air for up to 12 hours a day. We can't enjoy our living spaces, etc. No one in our building can also use the patio, and many hours during the day, we can't use our roof deck either, especially during warm days. Honestly, on warm days, it's even worse, because when it's 80-plus degrees in San Francisco, and you try to open a window or a door, and all you smell is smoke, you honestly have to leave your place, and we've considered getting a hotel room. We ask that this board and staff take action to properly mitigate the smoke and particulate matter so we can live within our homes. Thank you all thank for your you. Time, and thank you again to the inspectors who have come out and have been responsive.
Okay. We can't take action at this meeting, but we will follow up with you and see if there's an appropriate subcommittee we can put it to. Diane, you're next.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Diana Rivers, and I live in the same building as Radu, 55 Page Street. Yeah. I'm also a member of the HOA board. And I want to thank you for your time today. I also want to echo Radu's thankfulness for the inspectors that have come out and for Ed Giacometti for working with us. They've definitely been professional. They have definitely come out numerous times. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and my husband as well, who's over there. And we have been in contact with the Air District since we bought our condo this past September. We moved in and we had no idea that Espetus was an issue. And we feel like essentially we are just not really getting anywhere. We feel like we're spinning our wheels. Inspectors have come out. One of the inspectors who came out, he looked at their smokestack and he said, "Whoa." And that's what he said when he saw their smokestack. We can see the smoke. It's white smoke in the air. You've mentioned particulate matter over and over again during this meeting. We've heard particulate matter. It is coming in to our unit. It comes in with the windows open. It comes in with the windows closed. It is our only source of fresh air really is a vent to the outside and then opening our window or opening our patio door. And there is no fresh air that comes in when they're cooking, which, as Radu said, is up to 12 hours a day. It's not that it smells like steak. For me, it's that it is coal that is entering my lungs. When I'm in my unit, when this is going on, I have irritation to my throat, my nose gets irritated, my lungs get irritated. I'm a sufferer of chronic migraine headaches, and it exacerbates my migraines, and it is basically unlivable. My husband and I put in a significant chunk of our life savings to purchase this condominium, and we cannot live in our own homes with fresh air, and it's the only source of air. Our window and our patio and our air intake, as I said, face, it just blows right in. We have sent videos, we have sent pictures. There is visible smoke damage on the wall inside of our condo that faces where the smoke comes in, and we are not smokers, and I am not positive, granted, but I'm pretty sure that the people who lived in our unit before us are not smokers either, and it looks like the paint is peeling away from the wall. It looks like smoke damage from someone who is heavily smoked in the unit. Sorry, I'm going a little bit off script here, but we do still want to thank the inspectors. They have been doing, I think, some overtime hours during weekends to come out. I think they've only come out once. We don't have an inspector in San Francisco right now, so people have been covering from the peninsula, a little bit from the North Bay. We really want to thank them. They feel like it's a problem, but we would like to ask that something be done about this issue, because we are not able to have quiet enjoyment of our home, which everybody deserves. We are not able to have enjoyment of our home without particulate matter, smoke and odor invading our living space, and it's okay. Just unacceptable.
Thank you, Diane. First of all, before I see all the lights going on, before any lights go on, let me ask this, sir, any more cards? Anyone else that wishes to speak to public comment? Seeing no one rush forward, I'll close public comment. Thank you. Wayne?
Yeah, we are, like the speaker said, we are working that situation. We're continuing to work that situation. We've been trying to partner with the city of San Francisco to try and get their resources deployed on this. They've been cooperating. They're going to use our data to try and do something about it. I guess they have some regulations there that we're going to try and help them use. And we're going to explore every option that we have here to try and remedy the situation. We've had the situation happen before in other, over the years. And, we do have a charbroil rule. Mm-hmm. It's not applicable in this particular case, but we can also look at all the options available and try and deploy some tools, including maybe some additional amendments to rules.
Okay. Member Haggerty, then Ronan.
I was going to refer to the charbroil rule. I'm a little confused as to why it doesn't apply, probably because they're using an actual coal.
Yeah, that plus it's
well, that's ridiculous.
And plus the amount of meat that is. It was a targeted rule for charbroils in particular, under fired and so forth, and it really wasn't designed to address
this. To me,
it sounds
like they're using they're cooking a lot of meat. But having said that, I am a bit confused because I have a friend that owns several fast food restaurants, and the amount of hoops that we make them jump through in relationship to making sure that the smoke's not emitted or any emissions at all. And then we let somebody else just get away with it. I have a question about that. So I think at some point, there's got to be something we can do. And I hope that you do everything you can. I couldn't imagine what it's like living with that. I like steak, but I don't want it. I wouldn't want it that often. So
totally agree.
Okay. Member Ronan, then I'd ask that we kind of stay off of addressing public comment issues. Let's just bring this thing back. I'd like it to come to exec. I want to know what we have done and where we're going. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to offer that I'm happy to work with the neighbors and the air board and the San Francisco staff and the district supervisor all together to address and resolve the situation. You should not be living under these circumstances. So I gave you my card, and please pass it on to your neighbors, and please email me, and we'll start working together.
Good. Thank you. Okay, we're on to board member comments. Let's start from the right. Member Sparing, who's always hiding over there on the far right.
I just want to commend Board Member Kaplan. You and I have always been kind of at odd end.
You still are.
Of a lot of the political issues, but we really have come together on some of these neighborhood strategies. And, she's a strong advocate and a strong voice for the Bay Area, and I'm sure we haven't heard the last of her.
No. A.B. Koga?
Thank you. I just also want to thank you for your service, Director Kaplan. And I actually thought you had been on this board for a decade or less. You're too young for that, but as a new board member, you're definitely a role model to aspire to. So thank you for all of your service.
Director Roden?
Yes, I just want to echo the same thing. I'm so incredibly sad that you're leaving. Rebecca, you're someone that I look up to very much. I want to be like you when I grow up on the Air Board. And I just thank you so much for your passion and your hard work and your equity lens in which you do everything.
Director Sanchez?
I appreciate the fact that Director Kaplan did everything that she could so that she could remain in the board. It's just that she cannot convince certain mayors. But for my part, having been here only 1 year and having heard a lot from the audience, I really would not be surprised if somebody wants to replace me in the mayor selection committee to be on this board.
Director Kim.
Wow.
How do you follow that?
I'm processing that. Rebecca really should be on the board for one or two decades. She has the background that she's the kind of person that represents why I wanted to be on this board. Someone who is a critical thinker, thinks about the big picture, and has helped to shape, I think, a unique profile for the district. Staunch advocate for West Oakland. As someone who works in Oakland, I think I've learned a lot about local Oakland issues, San Leandro issues from the time on the board. But she is not a parochial member of the board. She has shown interest in San Mateo County with the Caltrain system. So I think she represents much of what I think we all try to do here, which is to represent our interests while recognizing that we have to represent the interests of the region. For Chair Hudson, I just want to know who's going to sit on the far left now, because
it's been taken. It's already taken. Don't even try and get it.
Anyway, thank you for your
time.
He
was there today. I had to talk him out of it. Go ahead, Karen.
Thank you, Rebecca. I am very sorry to see that you are leaving. Like the rest of my colleagues who've spoken, you do your homework. You're a critical thinker. One of the things that is so important, I think, in the public discourse today is that people can disagree on issues but be agreeable as they do that. And I think you've perfected that art, and I mean in the sense of conveying the issues you find important, but in a courteous, professional manner, without resorting to what a lot of people see coming out of Washington these days. So I'm going to miss you. I've learned a lot from you. Again, as Doug said, about West Oakland issues. And I'm sure we will see you in other regional bodies, if not back on this board.
I just wanted to thank Director Kaplan, like everyone else. Just watching you in action, you learn, I mean, as a new member of the board, like, you learn so much from how you conduct yourself, and not only just advocating for the right issues, but in the way that you do so. Like Director Mitchell said, you do your homework, right? So you're not coming out there just wearing your advocacy on your sleeve. You're coming forward with technical solutions and ideas on how we actually move past issues. And it's something that I'm definitely going to miss seeing on the left side.
Shirley?
Yeah, I already thanked her, so I'll pass. But yeah. Thank you.
Liz?
Yes, and I had my say about
Rebecca, it's always fun to talk to you. You always rile up the troops. I think that's your goal. Get us all thinking. Get us thinking maybe differently than we might otherwise. And you have a career in front of you. I don't know where you're heading. But great background, great determination. And I remember one of the things that you told me that was so much fun. I think you and your wife drove to tar sands, am I correct?
To the Dakota Pipeline protest,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Yes.
And I thought, you know, that is putting, you know, that's walking the talk. You really did it. And I thought after that, you know what, Rebecca really means it. And she did it, and that was pretty impressive. So I think that kind of set the standard for for what you are going to do probably for the rest of your political life. So thanks for being here. You are often controversial, but never dull.
Director Joya.
So I have two comments. The first I'll make about Rebecca. Rebecca, I still remember your first meeting. Remember that? In which we were either making a motion or seconding a motion on a major item that we were voting on, and people looked at you like, what's this new board member doing? So we knew, of course, those of us that have had a chance to work with you in the past, like when you were on AC Transit Board, know your commitment, and just want to say I know we're going to continue to work together. It's great that you've been a great advocate for the community, and you're smart, so you understand how to get to the heart of the issue, and I appreciate that. So I'm not saying much more because we're going to still work together. The second item, on many things, I'm sure. The second item, Jack, can you talk a bit more about the outreach for the advisory council seat? I know it's on the website. There's a deadline. I think we want to raise that up and talk more about is there a particular discipline that we are looking for, or what's the eligibility? So can you clarify and just put that out there?
Certainly, Director Joya. So we are in the middle of our recruitment for those two seats. The staff is recommending that we reappoint the other five. And I think that approach is something that I've heard Director Sinks, not to put words in your mouth, but I think that's something that you've also endorsed. And so, Director Groom, I think you asked that information get much more prominently displayed. We took that action, and that's where you go on our website. You'll see that now. So candidates are going to be coming to the personnel committee, and they'll be meeting on May 7th. We're going to essentially use the process we've used for hearing board members and alternates and things like that. So the background for folks that serve on the advisory council are laid out in state law. They have to have a background in air pollution, climate, health, I believe, are the kind of the background that we that's
called. So how else? I see it on the website. How else are you publicizing it? Because all of us, I know, want to get it out within our own networks and so forth. How are you publicizing? Other than the website,
see Rex.
No, I did. I got the memo. I'm actually, we do emails about advisory commissions in our own county. But how are you also getting out beyond the memo to us, beyond the website?
Okay, yes. We've sent out also a memo to all of the current advisory council members and our various other councils and groups to share it with their networks, as well as posting it on all of the Bay Area-wide job posting websites. We've reached out to CARB to have them also send it out to their networks. And so we're trying to get the word out as much as possible, both in advertising and in personal emails.
Because I'm not always sure. I mean, job posting websites are for jobs. This is actually, a community. So I'm not certain whether community folks go look on that job posting websites. I've heard this from others. In fact, don't we also have a mailing list of the organizations that come to us? Have you emailed it to them?
We have.
To folks on our email list?
We have emailed it out to all of our contact lists, which include non-governmental organizations, organizations.
Some academic institutions.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
And we should probably since this has come up again, I think it's important that we probably do another push.
Yes.
We've increased the time of the recruitment. The deadline's now the 13th.
Right.
And so I think it's probably timely to do another push out by email. And we'll also send one out again to all of you so that you can share it with your networks as well.
Okay. Good. Secretary Sinks?
Well, Rebecca, I'll just mention a couple of things I put in the letter to Mayor Schaaf. Suggesting and recommending your reappointment. We're arguably the most technical regional agency. We deal with lots of science. We deal with economics. And typically board members will spend 2 good years, as you have, ramping up. I think you've distinguished yourself in being a thoughtful advocate for human health. You've done a very effective job articulating concerns in communities most affected by air pollution, which certainly includes your city, which your mayor should appreciate. I know we do. When you've spoken, board members are listening because you're using cogent arguments that are based in science and economics. And so I thank you for your service, and I'll bet we'll see you again, if not here, then elsewhere in the Bay Area, and we appreciate your leadership. I'll mention that some community advocates for cleaner air in my city reached out to a small company called Clarity.io out of Berkeley. They have sensors now in a whole number of Bay Area communities, and three sensors in ours, and small little bread box units, an antenna, cell phone service. So you can go take a look in Oakland, or you can take a look in Richmond. I think this technology is fascinating, and it's bringing some awareness that maybe was not so visible to folks in our communities. So I'm excited that our technology office is studying these technologies. The map, if you want to look right now at how air quality is doing according to the sensors available, openmap.clarity.io. So I'm not a proponent for any particular company's technology, but I would note that in offering our community use of these nodes for some time for free, I think our residents are going to be more sensitive and more interested in understanding how what we do affects their air quality. So thank you.
Thank you. Director Groom?
Thanks very much, Rebecca. I've always appreciated your boldness and the research that you've done on all these issues.
Director Haggerty?
Thank you. To Rebecca. No, Rebecca and I have sat on many committees. In fact, at our Transportation Commission, Rebecca served as my vice chair, and we also served on the one we think can be very boring, but actually very exciting, Coliseum Authority. And I don't know what happened to the Coliseum Authority, but maybe you got caught up in the same politics there too. I would just say that Rebecca has always been a great ally for mine, to be of mine. She's very inclusive. I can't think of a time in which we have disagreed on items, to be very honest with you. But she's always been there for me, and she's actually always been there for advice, and also very complimentary and helpful to me. I do feel compelled, though, to say this, and this is no slight to Rebecca, but her replacement, John Bowder, is a very intelligent individual, and I would hope that you give him as equal chance as you've given Rebecca. He too, is an attorney, and he makes his own bow ties. And he's a very, very smart individual, as Rebecca is too. I'm always impressed by Rebecca's education and everything she's done in her life. And you're right, Rebecca's not done, and she will probably be back here soon. And for those of you who think that she should be here, maybe you should help her run for mayor.
Oh, Mayor Cutter. Bail us out of that one.
Well, here's a little bit added to it. So one of the things that we were talking about in representation is thinking about the cities that were the worst off, or perhaps the most polluted, Oakland being probably number one. And if we're going to consider adding people that really need to be at the table, perhaps we add a seat for the city that is the most polluted in the nine counties. And at that point, it would be up to the mayor, who we've already written letters to pick a representative. But that may be coming, and as an official request. So just for everyone who wants to think about something else, that's it.
Member Wagon Connect?
I wish I went after you, because if Libby Schaff wants that seat, then she should have taken that seat.
Member Wagon Connect. Yeah, I had that conversation, too.
I appreciate that you've always added value to our discussion, and everything that you've talked about has that in my perception, has tried to improve the life in real neighborhoods. So thank you.
Member Ross.
Again, your perspective and voice has just been very helpful, and it's great to watch. And one thing I found that usually when a public servant is targeted, that means they're effective.
Member Barrett.
Thank you, Rebecca. We are going to miss you. I think we're all going to miss you. And but I do really appreciate how you hit the ground running and how you really do combine heart and head in a very, very effective way.
Member Chavez.
Thank you. And, you know, I think I just want to echo what's been said, except to add one thing, which is I think being fierce the way you have been and being fierce with facts is something the president can learn a lot from.
Rebecca, I have mixed emotions. I've been eyeing this seat for 2 years, to be quite honest with you, and I want to thank Chair Hudson for giving me this seat. Mr. Sparian said you had to be here for at least 10 years, but on a serious note, it's been a pleasure to serve with you. We've gotten the message about cash for clunkers. We'll make sure that we carry that mantle, but just thank you for being collegial, being intelligent, being articulate, and getting my seat back. So thank you very much.
That about covers it. Executive officer? No, wait. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Thank you. Thank you all so much. I should be like, psych, not really leaving. Just fake that so y'all would do that. A minister friend of mine recently said, if you woke up this morning, it's because you still have work to do in this world. So, you know, I ain't done. I'll put the ain't after all the people saying how articulate I am. And I already, of course, talked about how wonderful this body is and how great it's been to be here and really how much we've covered in this 2-year period, which I think is remarkable. I just will say a couple things as heading out. One is, of course, I have to keep fighting for the substance as well. There was a letter we received from a member of the public that was in our stack at the last board meeting about how much difficulty they had navigating the application process for our truck upgrade program. And so I just wanted to, it's not in today's pile, it was in the pile at our last board meeting of communications. And so I just wanted to note that and suggest that as we talk about the different things we can do to encourage more action, that we should take a look at the specific things that letter writer raised and look at how we can streamline and ease the process of people who are trying to apply to our programs and figure out which ones apply to them, because that's another way to get more people to use them, is to make them easier. And of course, we've also talked about the mobile monitoring that was piloted in partnership with Google in West Oakland that was provided such useful data. I think that'll be a useful type of program to look to do in more places. I did also want to reiterate that the person who was selected to come into this seat for Alameda County is Mayor John Bowders of Emeryville, and he is a very smart and dedicated person, and I hope everybody will treat him well, and whatever shenanigans went on with me being removed are not his fault. So I hope that, you know, that he will be able to be a positive force here and that he will feel welcome as I have. And I've certainly reached out to him about some of the things that are underway to help those move forward. And then lastly, I just wanted to make a more meta comment, which is, you know, one of the things that me and a lot of people I hang out with have talked about, especially since the 2016 election, is, gosh, wouldn't it be great if the Bay Area was its own country, and if the Bay Area had its own government, man, it would do everything right. And in the past 2 years, I've been able to say to people, actually, it's not just a wish. There actually is Bay Area government, and that's what this is. And we really exist, and we're far more united than people might think, and it has been great fun holding down the left corner with Mr. Sparing holding down the right corner and discovering that we are working collaboratively together on lots of things, even though I guess we're not supposed to tell each of our constituents that, but that too.
Did you say right?
has been a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rebecca. Now we have the executive officer's report. We got more coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a few items for all of you. I feel like I need to make sure I lend my voice also to just thanking you, Director Kaplan. For all your sakes, you must understand that not only does she contribute quite a bit here for our board meetings, but she calls me quite often. But I honestly want to tell you that it's I will miss you and your push, because we need that. And I hope that you continue to stay involved. We're going to need your help in West Oakland and Oakland as a whole. For all your sakes, I wanted to thank you for the discussion on the governor's conference. Mr. Chairman, I will bring that back through the executive committee as the advisory council moves forward. One thing we did talk about at the joint meeting is to have the advisory council have a routine reporting up to the board, and I think that will help that, particularly as they move through the next couple of months to help us get organized for the governor's conference. Another item I wanted to mention is I think all of you probably read that yesterday EPA made an announcement that they're going to be opening up the federal motor vehicle emission standards. They're opening up the future 2025 standards for review. The CARB staff, Director Joya can add to my remarks, don't agree with the EPA on this finding. We're going to be in some tough times, I think. Mr. Pruitt has indicated that he wants to consider opening up California's waiver as well as part of this conversation. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to, at the next board meeting on the 18th, add this to our closed session, because we want to talk to you about our legal options. Good. On this. And we anticipated this, honestly, and so we did put some money aside in the budget. It's just coming at a time in which we'll be spending that money, I suspect, exploring our legal options. I did put out a press release, and that copy of that press release is in front of you. A couple other items I wanted to mention to all of you. This is some very specific things you asked of staff. The presentations are now all the different items, and there's a link now on your agendas, so you can just touch on the link and you'll see the presentation. So we've organized ourselves so to have those presentations before we get to these meetings, so that's a follow-up. Also, we are starting to do video conferencing. Director Zane, I believe you participated in the Ledge Committee. I think it was the Ledge Committee.
Santa Rosa Junior College.
I hope that worked out.
It worked fine. Okay. I mean, it saved me 3 hours of sitting in a car. Okay. So.
And we had the mute on here, so yeah.
Thank you, Dave. Kidding. I appreciate that really respectful comment towards your woman colleague on the board.
She got me again.
There'll likely be some others, actually. We're hoping to make sure we put one together, Director Chavez, actually in the South Bay as well, and make that happen. You all may have seen the hyperwall in the atrium. That's mm-hmm. some NASA videos we're able to secure that actually demonstrates the pollutant mass moving over the Earth. This is something that you're going to start to see more of. And then lastly, I want to mention a couple of key important staff updates. First, we're very proud to be able to announce that Pam Leong, to my right, is our new Director of Engineering.
Yay!
Pam has been with the district now for some 16 years and is going to be managing a group that's about 70, 75 folks, 60 right now. So I know we've got some recruitments underway. Also, I want to mention that we have filled the position of the Community Protection Officer. And it's my pleasure to introduce Liz Ura. If Liz could stand up. Liz comes to us from CARB, actually. So we Ooh, were able to snatch her stealing. Out of the work. And she's going to be essentially in charge of our 617 implementation, AB 16617 work. It's our way of dealing with CARB. If we can't necessarily agree, we steal their staff. So... No, that's my report, Mr. Chairman, and so we have some great additions. I did want to mention we had a very successful Women's History Month. We had Betty Soskin here. She is actually operates out of the Rosie the Riveter Museum over in Richmond. She's 96 years young, and gave us a great presentation and discussion here just in a few weeks ago, talking about her stories of life and life experiences, and it was really inspiring. So I believe we have that on, we can share that with you and send it out. I'll put it up on our website. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that is my presentation.
Good. The chair report, ad hoc refinery committee, will meet this Monday, April 9th. And they will discuss all matters pertaining to refineries. Next, we will reconvene the ad hoc building oversight committee. Mark Ross, you got your hands full. Meet with these people. Get them updated on everything that's going on. On March 12th through the 15th, I attended the 2018 Shared Mobility Summit in Chicago. Besides the snow, I would say Vincent Valdez from the FTA was there speaking. It is amazing how fast bike share, scooter share, car share, van. If you got share in your name, there's companies every other week must be forming because there were at least 15 different ones there. And it appears Ford has jumped in with both feet as we went to a summit later, and they'll pop in. March 18th to the 20th, I was at the APTA conference, American Public Transportation. Again, Vincent Valdez spoke. I see that guy more than I see you, Jack. APTA just is a little slow on picking things up. They still think their main thrust is give us reliable money anytime we want it all the time. That's just, I'm sure Congress has never heard that. But the phrases you're going to hear are mobility on demand and innovation solutions. I would add to that something I heard at the first TIO, and it's scalability. You're going to have these things in the equation, or you're not going far. I had to tell APTA twice. They said, this autonomous vehicle's coming. It's moving up the ladder. It's up to the six most important. I said, we've had one on the streets for 2 weeks, guys. It's not coming. You better move up and learn. March 28th, we had a Redefining Mobility Summit in San Ramon. It went very well. I'm amazed how far Europe is ahead of us, and the same things I'm telling you. They are treating everything door-to-door. Anything gets you out of a car, they've come up with, and they're really moving ahead. Last, the March 28th, we had the AB 617 workshop in San Leandro. I would like to thank Mayor Cutter for helping me out and limping along to get there in the early presentation. It was a Dr. Davis, the first person to speak. Very impressed with that guy. I mean, I can listen to him 50 times. Board members that are approved to the Air Waste Management Conference, June 25th through the 28th. We have from the North Counties will be Brad Wagon Connect and Pete Sanchez. Take the Peninsula. Supervisor Canepo will have to take care of San Mateo and San Francisco on that one. And then the three Eastern Counties will be handled by the conservative group, Mark Ross, John Joy, and Dave Hudson. At that, I would also add my farewells to Rebecca. Her last day is on 4/13, April 13th. April 13th. Thank you for showing up for my remarks. There's no truth to the rumor that Tucker Carlson will be there, but if you want, I would just say that our next board meeting is Wednesday, April 18th. Right here at 375 Beale at 9:30, we are adjourned.